What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Jesus and the Arts podcast. My name is Stephen Williams, and today we have a very special guest, another one of my friends from the school that I graduated from. He was in, or he still is, in band with me, and we did two shows when I was in middle school and high school. His name is Sam Parker. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Stephen.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
That is awesome. This is a nature episode. We're outside, so if you guys hear any birds squawking or any loud trucks on the road, just know that there are no trucks inside where we're recording. We're outside. So. Yeah. All right. So, Sam, how are you? You doing good?
I am doing good.
Awesome. How's school been this sophomore year?
Sophomore year, yeah. Awesome. It's been going well. Like, academically, it's okay.
Yeah.
The only issue is I'm doing a CCP class.
Okay.
Through UC, I'm doing English, and I'm kind of getting used to that, but it's not too bad. It's like one assignment every week.
Nice.
So
nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. CCP. I did CCP in high school. It's better than doing AP classes.
Yeah. It's a lot easier.
Yeah. And also, like, AP, like, if you don't get, I think it's like if you don't get a 3 or higher,
it doesn't count.
But like CCP, no matter what grade you get,
yeah,
it counts.
But yeah, I'm taking a break from chapel band right now, but I was doing it pretty consistently. I have some issues with the way that we've been doing things, but
yeah,
I enjoy doing it.
Okay,
I just kind of needed a break because I was doing it every week, and I wanted my lunches back.
You wanted your lunch.
Yeah, because I'm also doing the like Snack Shack stuff now.
Okay.
So if I kept doing worship band, I wouldn't have a single lunch.
Yeah, that's a problem. I didn't realize you guys were still practicing during lunch. I thought it was...
Yeah.
Okay.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's better than doing it before school where you have to get up at like...
Yeah. We still do the Wednesday...
Okay.
Before school.
At, like, what, 7:15 is it?
It's 7 now, because we start at 7:45.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh. That's so weird. I remember getting up for work, and my brother Nathaniel would be up too, and I'm like, wait, school doesn't start till 8, what are you doing? He's, no, it's 7:45.
Yeah.
That's so weird, because you guys end at 2:25 now, right?
Yeah, we do office hours now, which is, like, you can stay until 2:40, unless if you can... drive, or like you have a student driver or your like bus rider or whatever. That's actually kind of nice because I have my CCP is that 8th bell.
Okay.
And I just treat it like a study hall.
Nice.
Like I go to Mr. Sinclair's room, play some piano and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're not really heavy on homework. Most CCP classes aren't really. I've had a few, but, how's work? Where do you work?
Oh, I work at Riverbend Music Venue.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. I worked yesterday, actually.
Nice.
So that's pretty easy. I just do parking. I just direct people.
Nice.
The only issue is it's only like once a week.
Yeah.
And it's not year round. So I need to find another job.
Yeah.
Because I need to pay for a car and
again,
all of the things.
That's always important. Who played yesterday?
It was Judas Priest and Alice Cooper yesterday.
Okay.
There's a bunch of old people there.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of old metalheads.
There you go. Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Are you going to conduct the traffic when, like, it's Christmas time and they do...
No, I'm trying to think. The last concert is the 19th.
Okay.
And then we start back up in, like, April, May.
Okay. Do they still do the Festival of Lights?
I'm not sure, actually. But, yeah, it's an easy job. I sit there and just wave my arms.
And get paid.
Yep.
That's nice. That's good. Okay, you talked about just playing in the worship band. How's playing in band class, actually?
Oh, it's fun. Right now we're doing a song called Jazzing in the World.
Okay.
Which is like a mashup of a bunch of Christmas songs.
Nice.
So that's pretty fun. The usual of the first, like, months just being pep band stuff.
Yep.
Because we have some new, like, freshmen and
yep.
and all of that. So But it's pretty fun. I want to play guitar and bass for a song at some point, especially because we have another pianist, Audrey.
Okay.
But she hasn't been able to play piano for any of the songs since like middle school band because we had Jacob last year also.
That's right.
So I want to play guitar for a song so she can play piano, and I also just want to play guitar for a song.
And does Ella already, does she still play bass?
Yeah, she still plays bass.
Okay, cool.
But I've been playing a lot of bass recently.
Nice.
And I'm trying to learn the upright bass because we have the electric one.
Yep.
It's so hard. I can play like a electric bass fairly well.
Yeah.
But the upright bass, it's so much harder to press, like, pull the strings. But yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. I heard somebody told me that you guys played, like, tried to play Blue Train.
Yes, we did.
John Coltrane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did that, and what was the other one? We did two songs just as, like, getting back into jazz music.
Yeah.
Because not everyone in band plays year-round.
Of course.
So, it's fun. I like doing songs like that, but, yeah, it didn't sound the greatest. Because it was 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone had, like, 2 months of no playing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. When they told me that, I was like, Mr. Sinclair would bring Blue Train into high. That's crazy.
Yeah. I do want to start doing more jazz standards, though. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I want to really do Spain.
Okay.
But that's not happening.
Yeah.
That's way too hard.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
But I love that song.
Yeah.
And I'd love to play it in band, but I don't know if it'd be possible. It'd be a cool spring concert.
For sure.
Competition song.
For sure. Yeah. Who are the seniors? Is it just Nathaniel and Xander as the seniors?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Dang.
And last year it was me and Jake, I think. Where were the only two? Yeah.
Yeah, we're low on seniors. Next year we have, I think, even less. I think it's literally just Jasmine.
Yeah.
Would be the next.
I'm going to say, senior. I think when you, either your grade or Susanna's grade, when they graduate, I'm going to have no idea who goes to the school anymore.
Yeah, I know no one under your sister's grade.
Yeah.
Like, everyone under that, I have no idea. Actually, no, there's a few people from cross country that I know, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's just, school's grown, bro.
Yeah.
I barely, like, I'm helping out with, I'm helping direct the kids' Christmas concerts, like the Christmas shows, and, like, I know the kids that did Joseph last year when they were in third grade.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, I literally know nobody in elementary.
Oh, yeah. Me and my dad were talking about that, how there's just no one that we know. We were trying to think of, like, teachers that taught at lower school, and we could think of, like, two.
Yeah. It's crazy. I want to say there's, like, only two that I had for fourth grade and fifth grade, and they're still here. But other than that, I know, nobody else. Yeah.
There's probably like 5 fourth grade classes now.
Dude, it's actually crazy. It's insane. So how has 2025 been as a whole? Like, any good things that have come from it? Anything you've learned? Challenges you've faced?
I've been getting really into like theology recently, like different denominations and all of that stuff.
Love that.
So that's been the main thing really. Of stuff I've been interested in, because I'm looking at a bunch of denominations, seeing which ones like I align with and I think align with the Bible the most and all that. But that's been a reoccurring thing.
Yeah,
the main thing I need to focus on is like not focusing too much on that.
Yeah,
because there's been a few
for
times where I've been so hyper focused on, the specifics of denominations, not to where the point where I say like a denomination isn't Christian or something.
Yeah.
But I'll just kind of forget the whole point of of it all.
Yeah. But, for sure. Yeah, I mean like all these different denominations that are in the Christian church, everybody like all those things I would say from the denominations that I've heard about and stuff, A lot of them are just like tiny, small things.
Oh yeah, it's all really small.
Yeah, and then but then like my dad would always say like be like, just remember, like, as long as like these people believe in the same Jesus you do, you're all part of one big family, God's family. Yeah. And just those small details like that, at the end of the day, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Especially among like Protestant churches, that's a big thing of it just all being so small. Like the differences are so tiny. It's like there's like three verses on it. It's like, okay, it's not, you don't need a schism over that.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was talking to my dad about this today where there's a, it's like an offshoot of Catholicism called State of Acantism.
Interesting.
Basically, there was a Second Vatican Council in the 70s that said a bunch of things, like made a bunch of statements on more like newer topics because it was in the 70s. So there's like a bigger Muslim population, like a bunch of stuff like that. So they had to like talk about things that they've never really had to talk about before. But State of Acantist really don't like Vatican II, which I don't like it either.
Yeah.
But not to the point where I would, like, break off. But State of Acantist, they did break off from the, like, they're not connected to the Church of Rome anymore.
Interesting.
Which is very, very random.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because they still do, like, practice normal Catholic things. They just don't think that there's been a true pope since, like, before the 70s.
Wow.
It's a very random thing, but I feel like that kind of sums up how denominations are, where it's like, really, you thought that was worthy of making the church more ununited?
Yeah, no, literally. Yes. That's cool, though. Yeah, you can easily, like, get down a just a big rabbit trail of just different denominations and stuff like that, which is cool to talk about and stuff. I got an icebreaker for you.
Yeah.
This is, like, really off the top of your head. Like,
okay.
It's your top, we'll go three, top three favorite movies.
Oh, top three favorite movies?
Yeah.
Come on, let me get out my letterbox.
Oh, my gosh, he's got his letterbox. I haven't updated that in a while.
I have a bunch of movies that I haven't logged because I watched them, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I really liked them, but I didn't have Letterboxd at the time, so I wasn't able to put it in, so.
Yeah.
All right, top three. Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. It's the movie based off of the show Twin Peaks, like a mystery show, supernatural type of thing. The movie's, it's like my favorite movie of all time. We got The Muppets Movie from 2011.
Yes!
That movie is so good.
Like the Man or Muppet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, let's go.
And then Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, dang.
A good one. I've liked Fantastic Mr. Fox since like 2022.
Yes.
Like it's been one of my favorites ever since then. But yeah, quite an eclectic.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful top three. Mine is, I have to think of them real quick. And no particular order. Yeah. Quiet Place Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say, yeah, the Superman that just came out in July.
Oh, yeah, that one is so good.
And then I'm gonna go with, dang it, what did I do? Okay, you know, I couldn't think of it, but we're just gonna go with, Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Right.
The greatest Marvel movie ever.
Really?
I'm saying that. That's crazy. It's the greatest one. I don't care.
I'm trying to think what my favorite Marvel movie is.
Yeah, I want to hear yours.
I need to rewatch them at some point. I watched through every single one like a few years ago. And it was my first time ever seeing any of them. I do like Winter Soldier. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Actually,
hold on. I'm replacing that. I'm taking Winter Soldier out. I just remember it. Christopher Nolan's The Prestige is replacing Captain America Winter Soldier. Yeah. That is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
I'm not a huge Christopher Nolan fan.
What?
I haven't seen like all of his movies, but from where I have seen.
Which ones have you seen?
I've seen parts of like all of them.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of his style. I mean, he's a good director.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. his movies are good. But yeah. I don't know. It's not my personal style of movie.
Okay, you have to at least watch Dark Knight.
Okay, I've seen the Dark Knight. Cool, cool. Yeah, I love that. That's one of my favorite depictions of Batman. The Matt Reeves one is better, though.
Oh, that's the Robert Pattinson
one? Yeah, yeah. I'm so excited for the part two of that.
Yeah, that's coming out in like 2 years.
Yeah. No, they finished writing it.
They did.
They just need to film it. It's going to be like, I think it's going to be like 3 hours probably.
Yeah. Well, that's 2027, right?
I think so.
The same year, that's Beyond the Spider-Verse, which comes out
if it comes out.
If it comes out. Then you have Batman Part 2, and then you have like Avengers Secret Wars in like November, December.
I'm really worried for future.
I'm worried about
for
it,
future Marvel.
I'm worried about Doomsday.
Oh,
they
yeah.
finished rapping.
Oh no, it's
and,
gonna be so
and they,
bad.
They only spent 3 months filming that.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Hey, at least my favorites are back. The X-Men are back.
Yep.
And Loki's back.
Very
That's
true.
All I really care about.
You know what? I don't blame you. Did you like Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fantastic Four was great.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts was also really good.
Yeah.
But for me, really just the characters carried that.
For sure.
Plot wise, it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like it's a bit like rushed at times.
Yeah.
But
I was like, for sure, characters was
character. It's like all my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
In the entire MCU,
for sure.
Fantastic Four was great though.
Yeah.
There
were some moments you'd be like, holy crap, the CGI is not good. But to be honest, like, you had to deal with a baby who was like probably 8 months old.
Yeah.
And like, babies at 8 months don't listen to anybody, not even their moms.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get this baby on a camera.
Yeah.
Filming with four complete random people. And yes, there's going to be some moments where it doesn't look good. But like, you know, you got to remember they're dealing with a 8-month-old kid.
I did really like that movie.
Yep.
I don't like the fact that they're going to be in Doomsday
as
the 70s version of the the 60s version of Fantastic Four.
Yep.
I hate the multiverse stuff.
Yeah.
It's just so forced.
It is.
They should have just hard reset after and get some of the shows out of the way.
Well,
because I love Loki and Moon Knight and WandaVision and all that, but
Miss Marvel.
Like,
and
did we really need She-Hulk?
No.
Did we need She-Hulk?
That was terrible.
Did we need whatever it's called? What's that one movie? Marvels? Is that what it's called?
The Marvels?
Yeah, I never watched it
because it
looked so bad.
I watched it and it was okay.
Madam Web?
I didn't watch that.
I forgot that existed.
It's like that and Morbius are
Morbius.
Two movies I haven't seen and probably will never watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. We're going to dive into Christianity.
Yippee.
Let's go. Okay, so how did you come to know Christ?
So I've obviously grown up around like Christianity. My family's always gone to church. Both my parents grew up going to church.
Yep.
So I feel like when you're in that position of always being around Christianity, it's a privileged position. Like, I'm glad that I was put in this place to where I don't have to come from, like, not even going to church.
For sure.
But I do feel like you kind of become numb to it because you're just so used to it.
Heck yeah, man.
So that's a big part of my testimony of it being, I kind of was like numb to it.
Yeah.
To where I didn't actually understand what it meant to be saved. So I would always think, oh yeah, I'm saved, but I never actually was.
Yeah.
Until it got bad enough to where I like cursed God. Like, I was done with it. This was, I don't know, maybe sixth or seventh grade.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, bro. He literally
needed to fit in.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it was around then, and I was kind of like, I was done with, like, I never did a lot of research. Like, I wasn't a hardcore atheist.
Yeah.
I was kind of agnostic, but I did think, like, if there was a God, I viewed him as unjust.
Mm.
So I was in that place. And then eventually, there's not really like a specific moment, but looking back, I can kind of see my heart being like softened over the course of like a whole year, where it's like eventually eventually I came to this place of like,
dang motorcycle, bro.
I know.
Vroom. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. Eventually I came to the place of like accepting Jesus, and I was kind of like, looking back, it's a really drastic change.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a thing that happened in one night. Like,
oh, for
it was
sure.
Kind of set up over the course of a whole year.
Yeah.
And that's just really cool to see of God working throughout an entire season, instead of it just being like a one time thing. And now I've had a few stints of thinking about like deconstructing in the past before, like maybe two times I've thought about it, because of the same reason that I wasn't a believer before. Of I was like, oh, these bad things are happening. My gosh,
where is it even coming from?
I don't know. But I was kind of coming from this place of like, these bad things are happening.
Yeah.
And I kind of had a harsh reaction towards God because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thankfully I've never deconstructed.
That's good.
I've thought about it before, but I'm in a good place now to where I'm pretty solid and I'm going to believe this my entire life.
Yeah.
I
think that's great.
But yeah, I've had a lot of ups and downs, but I feel like I'm in a stronger place.
Always.
Faith-wise.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, I love that. I think, you said right at the very beginning, just like growing up in a Christian household, you can get numb.
Yeah.
And just say you're a Christian. And going to church is great. Going to a Christian school is great. But people don't say this enough. It does not make you a Christian.
Yeah, I feel like even that statement has become just, it goes through one ear out the other.
Yes.
Because you hear that a lot of, oh, just because you do all these things, you're not Christian. And I feel like that's, you know, like the camp high that a lot of kids get.
Yep, the spiritual high.
Yeah, you like accept Christ at camp and then you do nothing about it.
You're on fire for Jesus for that one week, and then.
But I think it's kind of like, it makes sense why it happens because you're so just focused on God, and that is a thing that you hear at like church camps a lot of like, oh, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause from my experiences with camps, I've had like nights where we'll all meet. And one of our leaders like tells their testimony, and they'll say that, like, they'll say what I just said, where it's like, oh, I grew up going to church, but I never really believed, and now I do. Like, that's a very common thing, especially when you're going to church every day. You hear that. A bug just landed on my face. You hear that a lot. And I think when kids hear that at like camps and stuff, they go, oh, I have to actually accept Christ because they're in that same position that they were. But then once life hits them, when they get out, it's all over. Like they don't have a solid enough foundation.
Yep.
So that's why I think it's important for us not to become numb to like just standard Christian phrases.
Sure. Yep.
We actually talked about this in chapel last week where
really,
yeah, we're talking about John 3:16 and how we've heard that verse so many times, but we've heard it so many times for a good reason. Like, it's a pretty like crazy radical thing for like the God that created the universe to send his son down to die for us while we were all like completely astray.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice to have messages where people call back to that and they say, we need to not forget this.
Yeah.
Like, this is what our life's built on and we can't forget that.
Yeah, for sure. I think going back to just your camp stuff, we both have very similar views on that, and I'm glad that we share that. Just how you can get this spiritual high from God, and yeah, you feel that because you're constantly surrounded by it.
Yeah.
For like a whole week, you don't have a phone. Yeah, you're constantly reading your Bible, you're worshiping, you're hearing a message every single day, maybe two times a day. And then you get home, and then it's like 3 days, you're like, oh my gosh, dude, I can do anything. I can move mountains. I can.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get back to school, get back to work, flame starts dying down a little bit. And that's a dangerous thing, because you have to constantly, whether you're at a camp or conference or whether you're not, and you're working or going to school or doing something else, you constantly have to just have that passion to pursue Jesus more and more each day.
Yeah.
It can't just be when you're at camp.
Yeah, you have to make a conscious decision constantly.
Yeah, and it has to be like a daily thing, like, okay, I'm going to chase the Lord every day. I'm going to start my day with Bible reading or prayer, and I'm going to end it with prayer and Bible reading. And it's just, it's very, very important. And unfortunately, a lot of people today just think that once you're a Christian, you don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, it's an easy road from there.
Yeah.
It
is not.
Yeah. We were talking about this at church today also, where we were saying how we were talking about the armor of God, and we were talking about what's it called? Like the shoes of the gospel of peace or whatever.
Yeah.
The actual phrases. I forget the technical phrase, but and he was my pastor was talking about how we're supposed to, as Christians, be prepared for things. And that comes from the gospel of, like, that being prepared comes from you understanding the gospel and fully believing it and putting your life onto it. And I feel like a lot of times, like what I was saying before, where you kind of get wrapped up in all the other things that you kind of lose the main focus, which is the gospel.
Yeah.
My pastor was also saying in that verse, or in that section in Ephesians, it says, like, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood.
Yep.
Blood.
But we wrestle against, it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah. And he was saying how the enemy, he won't go after people. His focus isn't on people that are already lost.
Yeah.
Like, sure, he'll make them even more lost.
Yeah.
But his main focus is attacking Christians.
Yep.
Trying to get them to not do, my pastor worded it in a really cool way, where he said, like, the devil can't drag you down to hell with him once you're saved, but he can make your life on earth not be as productive.
Mm.
He can get in your way to where you're living a life of sin and you're unproductive in your salvation, and you're not, like, reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not, like, teaching or, like, being groups. You're just kind of a passive Christian.
Yeah.
And that's kind of his goal with people who are saved. Like, with believers, that's his goal, is to kind of just get in your way.
Yep.
Not really. I mean, he would obviously want you to completely leave Christianity, but if he can't do that, he's going to make your life really difficult.
Yep.
And that's why it's so important for us to have a really good understanding of the gospel and kind of base our whole life on it.
For sure. Oh, heck yeah. Because if you don't, I mean, it's like one little thought could creep into your mind that the devil places there.
Yeah.
And it could drive you like crazy to the point that just it all falls apart. Yeah. Yep. And you said how he mostly targets Christians, and he does that because he realized that, you know, they're chasing after God and that they're a part of his family. And he's like, oh my gosh, I have to get those people away from God. I have to drive them into just a path of darkness and make them leave God's side, you know? And sometimes I would say you see the work of Satan more times in your life than you see the work of God working at you.
Yeah.
And a lot of things go wrong. And then you're like, holy crap, where the heck is God?
Yeah. And you see that in the Bible. Like, it's always been a thing. Like Job. Yeah. Job, that's like the entire story, is that there is no sign of, of like God being there in Job's life. Mm-hmm. Obviously, us viewing it, we know like there's a dramatic irony there of the audience knows, God told Satan, yeah, you can do whatever in Job, he won't leave me.
Yeah.
But the like quote unquote characters in that story don't know that. Like Job and his friends and his wife, none of them know the background. They just see the pain that's going on in his life, and they're all like scrambling to find out, why is God letting this happen, or is God doing this to him, like as punishment?
And then they tell Job, they're like, hey, God abandoned you.
Yeah.
Dude, turn away from him.
Yeah, like his wife tells him, like, why don't you just like curse God already?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm going to keep worshiping God. The first thing that he does after everything happens is like he falls down to his face and starts worshiping.
Yeah.
Like it's such a, that's a big part of Christianity, is that philosophy of still being hopeful in like really desperate situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a blind optimism. Yep. Like, Paul, when he was in prison, wasn't like, oh, yeah, everything's perfectly fine, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
I'm going to be okay. Like, when all the, like, apostles were martyred, they weren't going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
They were like, I'll be fine because I still have God.
Yeah, and
like,
because
they can't get rid of that.
Yeah, and they, at the same time, they're like, I know where I'm going when I die.
Yeah, that's big.
Like, when Stephen was getting stoned...
Yeah.
You know, he was like, Father, forgive them. And you see, I'm going to try to find it. It's an Acts. But it says how, like, you can see his eyes are, like, shining like the light of Christ or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know where. Let's see.
I think there is a big emphasis as, like, in this world of kind of, like how I said before, where because bad things were happening, I viewed it as that's a bad character of God because these bad things happen. And that's like one of the hardest truths to swallow as a Christian, because you'll have atheists come up to you and be like, hey, why are these bad things happening? And the answer is, we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, why is there children starving? I don't know. It's just because we're in a sinful world.
Yep.
We can't, like, we have no idea, but you just have to understand that it will happen and try to help the situation. Like, obviously, having this hope doesn't mean, like, just sitting back and being like, oh, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the same thing as the blind optimism.
Yeah.
That's kind of a product of that, where you're so, like, optimistic of the situation, to where you'll see children starving and they'll just go, oh, it'll be fine, it'll all work out in the end. And it's like, well, you still have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sit back and be like, oh yeah, it'll fix itself. It's like, yeah, God would rather that not happen, but he wants us to do something about it. Like,
yeah.
It's not just, he isn't sitting back and being like, oh well, they're doing nothing about it, I guess I'll do it now. It's like, no, he wants us to help out.
Yeah, I mean, we're called to be fishers of men, and to, I mean, the Great Commission, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, it's like, we're not called to sit on our butts and do nothing, you know?
Yeah.
We have to do what we can do.
Yeah.
With the time that we're given here.
Yeah. And that goes back to, I'm doing your job for you right here. That goes back to putting your faith into your arts right there.
Heck yeah, man.
I mean, it's kind of a cliche of saying like, oh yeah, do everything in Christ. But it's true. Like, you do have to, your faith should affect how you do things, especially with art. Like, for me, I'm not planning on, like, I want to make music, but I'm not planning on making worship music.
Yeah.
But I am planning on when I write lyrics, having my faith affect the lyrics.
For sure.
Whether it's super direct and I'm like just straight up like talking about like Job or something.
Yeah.
Or if it's just kind of like, if you really look at it and there's a Christian listening to it, they'll see that and be like, oh, that's like very close to this one Bible verse.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something I need to work on of, but also I haven't created enough stuff to really need that.
Yeah.
But eventually when I do, I need to keep that in mind.
Yeah. That's good. Good discussion. Let's see. I'm going to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is there a chapter or a book of the Bible that really like stood out to you and was like, yeah, God's real. I mean, he's always there for me.
There sure is.
He has it pulled up, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, some of these, this verse really doesn't, this wasn't like one of those things where I heard when I wasn't a believer.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, I don't know, 4 months ago when I saw this verse and it stood out to me. Because it's like a good reminder. It's Ecclesiastes 11:5.
I love Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes is a fantastic book. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, as you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. That's like, depending on how you see that verse, the way I see it is that's a very hopeful verse in my eyes. Because, yeah, it can be scary to not know how things are going to work, but it's kind of the same thing that happens at the end of Job, where in response to Job's pleading, God just says, look at the things I've created. I got this. That's basically his response. He doesn't tell Job, oh yeah, Satan came up to me and was like, hey, if I do all these things to Job, he'll curse you. And God was like, nuh-uh. And then, like, God didn't tell him. God didn't tell him the whole backstory.
Mm-hmm.
God just kind of showed him the universe and told him to trust him.
Yep.
And that verse in Ecclesiastes is kind of sums that up for me, where that's very comforting to me of the God that created the entire universe, like everything around us right now was created by him and is being led by him. Like nothing happens that doesn't go past him. And he like loves us. Like that's like bonkers to me.
Yeah.
But that verse, it just says basically, you don't know everything about the universe, but God does.
Yeah.
And you can trust in God. And I know that I've talked to people before, like we were having a discussion in our breakout group after church or after a chapel one day.
Yeah.
And we were talking about like, what's something that comforts you? Because we're talking about like unshakable faith. And we're talking about like, what's a verse or something that you come back to remind yourself of the promises of God and to like call back your faith. And I was saying that. And then like, I was realizing like, this might not be comforting to like everyone else. Like that might not be like, I understand that could be a scary thing to someone, but for me, it's comforting.
Yeah.
And to that person, it might be like, oh, that is terrifying. And that doesn't really say anything bad about their faith. That just says that they're comforted by other things. And someone else brought up, like, like creation.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, like, oh, if I'm feeling anxious or if I'm doubting my faith, I was go out for a walk in nature and see everything and be like, okay, it's all okay.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same concept between those two of like, I don't know how all the philosophies and how the universe works and like all the specifics, but I'm okay. It's kind of the same like reaction as going out into nature and seeing things and being like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that the Bible can kind of speak to different people in different ways, but you kind of see the same thread throughout all of it of God's love and mm-hmm. being able to trust in God. It's just expressed in different ways because people view it in different ways, but it's all like the ways that everyone views it in the Bible. It's all like they all, if God claims to be a certain way, he is that way.
Yeah.
But it's just, he's so much more than anything that we can comprehend to the point where, he can show himself to different people different ways. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. No, I really like that. That's a good verse. That kind of points back to what our message was about today at church. Mm-hmm. My pastor talked about the book of Philippians chapter 4.
Yeah.
And it's the part when it says, like, do not be anxious about anything, but mm-hmm. prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked about just constantly remembering to trust in the Lord and like you said, going outside and seeing nature and stuff yeah. and other things like that, whatever it applies to you in whatever way. But, you know, just having constant peace and hope that you are just safe in God's hands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, he's the only person that can give you peace when, like, doubts come in your mind or your heart's just really troubled
yeah.
with anything, or you're just anxious about something, you know? Like, you can only find that peace in God and God only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't find it in the world. If you try to find peace in the world, you're just
it's going to make it worse.
It's going to make it worse.
Might make you feel good in the moment, it'll always fail you.
For sure. For sure.
There's the verse that says that God is near to the brokenhearted.
Yep.
In fact, that's kind of the same thing that you were talking about of, I mean, there's like, who is it, Rahab? She's the one that, had the spies
mm-hmm. yep.
go into her house. Like, she was like a prostitute.
She was a prostitute, yeah.
So, you look at the way that God treated her, like, out of all of the city, he was like, Rahab, because you were, like, faithful to a God that you didn't even know.
Yeah.
Like, she just heard that these Israelites just worshipped a different God, and she was like, okay, I can trust these people.
Mm-hmm.
And thereby, she can trust God.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting to see how God is, like, that verse that says God's near through the brokenhearted is really true.
Yeah.
Like, the most lost people, God is really near to them because he feels for them.
And he used lineage,
like a tax collector.
Yeah,
of a bunch of, like, my dad was saying this in the genealogy in Matthew.
Yep. I was just about to say
it's
that.
Who is it? Bathsheba is in it? Or no.
Mm-mm.
Someone's in it. The story of it is like really, it's really sad, and it's like it went against God. But my dad was saying he read that verse because we were talking about how there's a lot of verses in books and all of the sections in the Bible that are like really quote unquote boring. Actually, no, they are boring.
Yeah.
Like, I can admit that they're boring. Like, Leviticus is not a fun book to read through.
You can easily get bored by it, yes.
But you can, you do have to still understand that it is like, that there is purpose to it. Like,
yeah.
it is from God.
Yep.
And he was talking about how that genealogy shows all the broken people
yeah.
that God used to bring about his son.
For sure.
And I think it's really cool how God really does help a lot of people that are
mm-hmm.
struggling. I've heard, like, the reason that you hear so many testimonies that are, like, the crazy radical ones, it's like, there was, my church says Testimony Sundays. I wasn't here for this one, because it was the service before mine, but basically what it is we'll always have a service where we'll have a mic up front, and you come up, share, like, a 2 minute thing at the most, and then you go back to your seat.
Yeah.
Apparently, in the first service, there was someone that went up and just said, "I used to practice witchcraft, now I don't," and then went back to their seat. I was like,
Yeah,
that's awesome. And I think it's really cool how you hear a bunch of stories like that. Of it's like, someone who is so far away from God, and he was just right there for
yeah.
them. And it's not like he abandoned them during that moment. He was even closer. Like, when they're in darker places, he was even closer to them mm-hmm. than he would have been if they were just like growing up in the church. And
yep.
Not to say that he isn't close to like people that aren't struggling terribly with things, but
yeah,
he is especially close to people that are really, really in a bad place.
Yeah. And I think he can use people like us to reach mm-hmm. those people as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have, do you know who Bryce Crawford is?
No.
Okay. So he's a 21-year-old Christian who lives in LA and who goes to like the worst of the worst places. Like, he recently went to Skid Row and preached the gospel to people. He went to a furry convention.
I've seen this guy, yeah.
Yeah, and preached the gospel to people who wanted to hear it, and he didn't force it on anybody.
Yeah, from what I've seen, he talks to people very well.
And he just prays with people.
Yeah, I've seen so many clips of him talking to people in such a kind way. I've seen some, I don't agree with him on some things that he said.
Yeah.
But from the clips I've seen of him going out to places like that and talking to people, he does it in such a like passionate way.
For sure.
And in a way that's peaceful and a way that doesn't like dumb down the gospel.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't like avoid harsher topics of being like, "You're a sinner," but he treats it with kindness of being like, "So am I."
Mm-hmm.
Like, he goes into it, you can tell he goes into it with the spirit of humility, where you're kind of like, I'm in the same position you are. It's just that God has been gracious to me, and
yeah.
I've accepted Jesus.
Yeah.
But I would be in the same place that you are.
Yeah, if he hadn't spoken to me. Yeah, I mean, like, everybody has come from their own struggles in the past. And, like, what he does is that he tells people about his backstory and how mm-hmm. he was completely lost. I mean, I don't know if you've heard his story of how he came to Christ, but he was depressed.
Yeah.
His anxiety was through the roof. Mm-hmm. He went to Waffle House on Christmas Day, and he was going to kill himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard so many stories like that.
Yeah, and then all he said was, like, "God, if you're real, take away my anxiety and depression." And he just felt that lift from him.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been like, "Okay, God, if you're real, this needs to happen," or something like that.
"Do this thing for me."
And yeah, sometimes he'll do something and you'll be like, "Oh my gosh." But other times he might not.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's in his own time.
Yeah.
He's outside of time.
Yeah.
He works when he wants to work.
Yeah.
And he's always working, but maybe just not as clearly as we want him to work.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, again, you have, and the question always pops up, you know, like, why do bad things happen to good people? Or why are there terrorist attacks?
Yeah.
Why did 9/11 even happen?
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes, like, we can't answer that question. Yeah,
the answer is, I have no idea.
Exactly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that no matter what, God is still good, and that he mm-hmm. always and will always love his people.
Yeah. That's probably one of the hardest things to come to terms with. Because mm-hmm. you just kind of have to sit there and be like, yeah, it happens and it sucks and I wish it didn't.
Yep.
But it does, and we don't know why.
Yep, but God is still good.
Yeah.
Yep. Be like, hey, maybe ask him that question when you get to heaven.
Yeah.
He'll give you an answer.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you have Do you know who Cliff and Stewart?
Oh yeah.
Those are great people. Going to college campuses and preaching the gospel, answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those people are so wise, and it's just so cool how they can just do it. And it just shows you that, like, you know, anybody that's a follower of Christ can do that. You know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're scared to speak or something like that. But you had Moses, who literally was like,
he had a.
Like, God, I can't speak clearly.
Yeah,
and he goes, "I'm gonna use you," and he used Moses. Yeah.
Have you heard there's theories that Paul was like blind, like his whole life, because he was blinded.
Yeah,
but it says that he was fine. But there's like hints. I don't know all the different.
I haven't heard of
reasonings, but there's a theory that he's like partially blind his entire life because there's something about. Someone else, like one of his disciples, like writing some of his letters. I think there's one of the letters, and it's like the greeting or something is like from, it says like from blah 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 blah, writing on behalf of Paul or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's even though Paul couldn't, like, if he was blind, he couldn't write.
Yeah.
Like, he had to have a scribe do it for him, but like he's one of the greatest teachers ever,
for sure. You get so much stuff out of his books, bro.
Yeah,
his letters, it's crazy.
Yeah
Okay, let's move on to the arts.
Yeah,
it's a very good faith conversation. Okay, so you already talked about playing piano.
Yeah.
For my gosh, bro,
that was a loud one.
So you already talked about piano, playing in band, and then taking a break, but you have played on the worship team.
Yeah, yeah.
And you act.
I do. It's new.
Yeah.
I did act back in like sixth and seventh
you
grade.
You were young Christoph.
Sixth and
frozen.
Seventh grade.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I did in fifth grade too, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, seventh grade, I... doing crew for that show.
Because you did Christmas Carol too, right?
Yeah, Christmas Carol, I was only in the second act.
Yeah.
Because I missed the rehearsal for one of the, for like the only scene I do is like the party scene in act one.
Yeah.
It's the only scene I would have done, but I missed that rehearsal. So I did crew for part of that show. And then because of that, I was like, oh, crew's fun. I'm going to keep doing this instead of acting because I was not a good actor. But I eventually started doing crew. I really liked that. And I was ASM for Little Mermaid, and that is a terrible experience. I despise being ASM with a burning passion. It like it makes me go insane.
I hope you know I didn't choose you to be ASM.
Yeah,
that was...
Well, I wanted to be ASM, but it was I didn't realize how terrible it would be
because you had to deal with your crew members and the people in the cast.
Yeah. Well, also I could not handle the stress at all.
That's fair.
Anyways, after that for Sound Music, I was like, I thought about doing cast for Joseph. I wish I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really should have. How dare
you?
Yeah,
I know. But eventually for Sound Music, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it. I tried out for Max, didn't get it because, you know, my first show since seventh grade. But I got Herr Zeller, I got a Nazi.
Might have to bleep that out. But...
Yeah, true. I got a evil German soldier.
There you go, in World War II.
Yep. And I mean, it's fun being on stage.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how fun it is to be on stage, and then now I'm doing Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Shameless plug, if you want to see it. And I'm Mr. Thomas for that, which is what I tried out for.
Sweet. Sorry, there's a spider attacking me. I don't know what the heck's going on, bro.
I saw that going down. But yeah, and doing this show, oh my gosh. Characterization is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
It is so fun. I get to be a fawn and like frolic around and be a kidnapper for part of it, and then I
come into my house and we'll then, have some tea.
No, no, Mr. Chung's been saying every time he describes characterization, it's so weird.
I know.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Because it's a short, I'm not on stage a while for the role, but I'm fine with it because I wanted to do this role.
Mm-hmm.
But the scene that I have a lot of fun with is my biggest scene. It's like the only big scene I have where it's Mr. Tumnus and Lucy. And the characterization I really like is the back and forth. This is like a thing that we've been working on with that scene is there's this moment where Mr. Tumnus is supposed to take Lucy to the queen. Like, he knows that's his job. Like, if he doesn't do it, he's gonna, like, the scene before that, one of the queen's, like, guards tells him, like, hey, if one of these, like, because he was away from his post or something.
Yeah.
And one of the queen's guards says, if someone comes by and you let them, like, if a human comes by and you let them go, you're going to be turned into stone. And so he's going into this interaction with Lucy with that fresh on his mind. And he goes throughout this entire interaction thinking, I'm going to take her to the queen. And then there's this moment where Lucy asks him, like, what type of work do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm a kidnapper. And then he like, starts to, like, go into this, like, mode where he's like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
And then once he's about to, like, take Lucy, like, there's a pause. And, like, me and Eve just stare at each other for, like, 5 seconds. And then eventually he just, like lets her go. And then, like it's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm taking it back. And that is so fun to do characterization for because it's so something that I didn't do well when I acted before, and this is including for Sound of Music, is for theater, you have to have big, big actions.
Mm-hmm.
TV acting, you can just have slight facial changes.
Yep.
On stage, you have to make big motions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've tried to start doing better at, especially because my scene for this show is actually kind of important.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. You have to get over the fact that it's going to be cringy. If you're on stage and you're watching someone, if you look at people acting in theater separate from the fact that it's a play, they look so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, there's a part where I start crying, and I look, like, every time I do, I'm like, man, I look so stupid. But it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of my favorite part of theater, is it's a excuse to be cringy and weird and stupid.
Heck yeah. That's good.
Because usually it's, you can't really act like that without, being seen as, like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
But on stage, you can do whatever, and as long as it fits your character, people don't bat an eye.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I'm excited for what the future of my theater has to hold.
Heck yeah.
Got Singing in the Rain in spring.
Yep.
I'm thinking about what I want to do for that.
Who do you want to go for?
Is his name Don, the lead?
Lead, yeah, Don.
But I want to do Don, but I can't sing.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of a...
So I need to get vocal lessons.
Get some vocal lessons. And you have to learn how to dance.
Dancing, yeah.
Yes.
But I do know I'm at the stage now where I enjoy acting enough to where I'm going to audition for the show no matter what.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like what it was before where it was kind of, there's not really a role that I want to do, so yeah. I'm just not going to try out. Now that I've been on stage for two shows, it's like, man, this is really fun. I just kind of want to do this. I don't care if I'm Don or if I'm some random. Another role I want to do is the director.
RF.
Yeah,
he's good. I think you'd be good as him. He's great.
So, like, if I'm Don or RF, or if I'm some random ensemble, I'll have fun doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
If I don't have fun doing it, it's a one-off, and I'm going to do the next one.
Yeah,
anyways.
There you go.
But yeah, acting is so fun. I'm not the greatest actor, but I'm not bad.
You're learning.
I've done. Yeah, exactly. It's my second show that I've taken seriously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I've done over 10 shows, and I'm still learning. I mean,
yeah, you're still improving.
Yeah. Yeah. When I did Annie Get Your Gun, I was talking to Eve about this in the last episode, but this was the first show that I actually did like in-depth characterization for Frank.
Yeah, which is hard to do for that show because it's terribly written.
It is pretty bad. I'll be honest.
Frank is such a weird character.
He is a pretty weird
character. And none of the plots get resolved. I'm so upset about that. But it was amazing. It was fun to watch.
Yep.
But I did notice that.
Yeah.
Like you did.
I had to do the just like standing up straight,
uh-huh,
shoulders back at all times. It was hard. I had to just learn how to do that. You know, which is something, you know, school shows, I mean,
yeah,
you don't really go too in-depth with stuff, like, unless you do it on your own time, but the acting class that I'm taking right now, I wanted to talk about this,
mm-hmm,
we're actually doing the scene when Mr. Tumnus meets Lucy,
uh-huh,
we're actually doing that for the acting class, and, like, doing in-depth characterization, like, making our own blocking for it,
mm-hmm,
but yeah, I was like, when she handed us the paper, I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Look at that. But yeah. That's awesome. No, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And there's always room to grow.
Yeah.
And improve. And the biggest part is just being content with what you get.
Yeah, for sure.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
We saw that a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Have there been, I don't know if... Have there been any, like, cool opportunities you've gotten to do with, like, playing piano and stuff?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I take lessons.
Okay.
And I've taken lessons since, like, first grade, but I switched lessons to, like, a official piano teacher. But, like, much more professional lessons. And something that we do with those is we'll do... like showcases,
mm-hmm,
where my teacher would be like, hey, do you want to play? Like, I did one, I've only done one, but it was at a coffee shop.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
And yeah, I just played one of my pieces and then went home. It was my first time I've played just solo piano publicly, though, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's an opportunity that I get a lot, but not a lot, it's like twice a year. But I've only done it once because every other time I've been like in the middle of learning a piece, and I'm not like fully satisfied with where the piece is at. I don't want to do an older piece, so I'm just kind of like, mm-hmm, I just kind of don't do it. But I want to start doing them more often, and it's the one that I did. It was like a just open thing, but there's another part of it where it's like almost a recital where it's like you have like judges and stuff, mm-hmm, which I've never done one of those yet. I might do it at some point, just to get better at piano, like get better at the little intricacies of it. But yeah, that's the main thing. And then worship band, more time to play there. And then school band, all of the things.
All of the bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the reason, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but so you said you're taking a break from chapel band just because you want to enjoy lunch, or is it just...
That's a big part of it, but also I have some gripes with the way that...
it's being run?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's fine, but we're doing like click tracks now. And As a musician, I really hate click tracks just in general.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, I don't know. I feel like it's not as fun.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel as connected. When I'm at chapel, I want it to feel really connected.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite part of chapel is like the entire student body all worshiping.
Yeah.
Rather than feeling like just a normal church service.
Are you thinking that this, is it like you're performing for them?
Yeah. Kind of? Yeah. Instead of it, us all being like, mm-hmm. like collectively worshiping. And I'm not alone in feeling this way. Like I've talked to other people in the music band and like other people at school and they feel the same way where like we want to just have like chapels where we're just kind of all like singing together. Not really. Like the cliche of like a family like gathering around a piano at like Christmas time singing hymns.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I want it to feel.
I love that.
I want it to feel like everyone just kind of singing together rather than being like the audience is just singing at the like the people on stage are singing at the audience and the audience is singing at the people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel like everyone's kind of all together.
No, for sure. I think that's a really big thing, you know, because you're not, the people that are worshiping on stage are not supposed to be presenting a show.
Yeah, it's not supposed they're supposed to also be worshiping.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one collective body. No, I think that's really good. And once again, I agree with everything that you're saying because I felt the same way last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. Okay. Alrighty, so now it's time to weave these two together.
Yippee.
Yippee. Okay. So how can us as Christians bring our faith into what we enjoy?
Man. I feel like the main thing is just to keep in mind the gifts that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you were saying, the opportunities to like play.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that you have, like, for me, I have to keep in mind that I have a great opportunity in my piano lessons, that my parents pay for great lessons, and that I get better at piano because of it, that I have school band, chapel band, singing, or songwriting, composition, choir, all of the things. I think that's the main thing, is keeping a attitude of being grateful. Because that plays into it, not necessarily when people watch you, like perform, but when you're performing with people, they kind of notice that, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll notice, I'm trying to think, like in theater, I can notice the difference between people that are content with the roles that they've gotten because they're grateful that they have the opportunity to be in the show.
Yeah.
Versus people that aren't as grateful about the opportunity that they have.
Yep.
I feel like being around those two different types of people, I mean, I understand being upset with, like, if you think that you should have gotten a better role or whatever. But I think the main thing that you have to keep in mind is that our theater is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's, most schools don't have the same like, opportunities that our theater does. And we don't do cuts, so you're in the show no matter what.
Yep.
Like, things that we kind of take for granted, including me, where it's like, oh, yeah, most schools don't have a whole theater department the same level that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's the main thing, because I think, especially with arts, if you're not creating arts, it's kind of hard to tell if you, it's hard to see that difference between a believer in that field and a non-believer in that field if you're just viewing the performance.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're in the audience of a play, you're not going to be like, oh, that person's Christian and that person's not.
Yep.
But when you talk to them, and especially if you're working with them on that project, you'll notice a difference, hopefully.
Yeah. I think, you know, the Bible talks about, like, people will know you by your fruits.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to theater, like, if you have somebody that didn't get the part they wanted and the entire rehearsal they're just complaining
mm-hmm.
and groaning, oh my gosh, I wanted this role but I didn't get it, I'm ensemble.
Yeah.
But they refuse to quit, you know, that just shows that, you know, that just their fruit is being shown by what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be careful on how, as Christians, we're called to just love everybody, respect everybody,
mm-hmm.
Be kind and gentle.
Yeah.
To be an example of Christ. And I think in fields like this, if you don't get the part you want, or you get, say you audition for a movie and you get cut or something like that, or they didn't like you. Yeah, you can either, you can grumble, you can complain, you can pout, you can get mad, or you can, you know, take it and be like, okay, you know, this happened for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do something else, and I'm going to learn from my, from what I did.
Yeah. I think that's really all that, I mean, obviously you can do, I think there's more, especially if you're creating. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the easiest, or not easiest, but like, best ways to get your faith across in art is if you're in a more creating side of art.
Yeah.
Like if you're a painter, like you make music, or if you, I don't know, make your own plays or whatever. I think you can, that you can get your point across a lot better in that case. Like I was saying before, I haven't made any songs with lyrics yet, but like when I do, I plan on having my faith influence those lyrics in some way.
Yeah.
Whether I'm quoting a Bible verse in like a way that fits the song, or if I'm just kind of, if someone analyzes it, you can kind of see some correlation.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're not in one of those fields, your attitudes are more, it's less about what you're doing in the performance rather than how you're treating the performance, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be a light more towards your like coworkers than the audience.
Yeah.
If the audience talks to you, you should have the same attitude if you have a good attitude, but you know.
No, I like that. Do you find it challenging keeping your faith at the center of your life?
With arts or just in general?
I would say just in general.
In general? I would say, because I'm big into like politics and philosophy and all the things. So, I'm in a lot of circles that are very, like revolutionary focused things, and they treat things where it's a lot of, viewing things in kind of a violent way.
Mm.
And there's an account I follow on Instagram that they're Christian, and they're like, they're kind of extremist, left extremist, politic, but the way that they talk about things, you can see their faith, because I think a lot of times if you get these more like politic driven people who claim to be Christian, they care more about the politics and then justifying it with certain verses that are kind of cherry picked.
Yeah.
But with this account, they talk about like their faith so much more than the politics of things. They'll address, it's a political account, so they'll talk about things, but they'll talk about having grace for people and showing love and being nonviolent, like, because they're revolutionary, but they're not violent about it. They believe in like treating people with grace and love. And that's probably the biggest thing, because like in my life is seeing, things in a political and philosophical way, while keeping what the Bible says at the front of things.
Yeah.
Rather than it being, the politics are there, and then I just kind of say like, oh, this one Bible verse
find scripture
supports
to,
this.
Yeah.
It's, oh, this Bible verse says this. How does this affect the way that I view this situation?
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of my life, especially if I disagree with someone. I disagree with you on politics, probably. And but I think it's important for me to keep in mind that that doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not what God has called us to worry about.
Yeah.
What he's called us to worry about is our faith in other people's faith.
Yeah.
That's what he's called us to care about. And whether or not another person's saved or not, or if they agree with you politically or not, we're called to love them, and we're called to pray for them, and we're called to have fellowship with them. So yeah, that's probably the biggest thing for me, especially people. I need to kind of slow down my role sometimes.
Yeah,
and kind of like refocus, like readjust and refocus on having peace with other people.
Yeah.
For
sure.
And then art-wise, the thing that we're talking about where you have to have the right attitudes.
Yep.
I feel like I do a good job at having the right attitude about the way that things go for me, but not so much about the way things go for others.
Yeah.
A lot of times I get upset for other people or with other people about something that happened in theater or whatever, rather than being there and hearing them be like, oh yeah, that stinks, and then trying to be a light of like, it's okay though, like trying to speak truth and love and be like, we're still in a privileged position and we can I think the way that I should do that is kind of, if someone is upset about, like, a role they got, like, they tried out for a role and they think they should have gotten it, instead of this person being like, yeah, that stinks, I wish that you got that role, but trying to tell them, but you can't do anything about it now, in a way that isn't harsh. That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Of finding a balance between showing them love and not being harsh about it, but still telling them the truth and reminding them of how the Bible calls us to act. And I think you kind of have to just keep in mind that you can also fall into the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm upset with someone, like if me and someone else are upset about their casting, if I keep that attitude up, that can eventually kind of trickle down to me, to where maybe I'm so deep into this idea of, oh, this person didn't deserve this role and this person did. Once I get a role that I'm not excited about, like if I got, like, say we eventually do Hunchback of Notre Dame and I try out for, oh my gosh, what's his name? The priest. Dude,
oh, gosh.
What's his name? Frollo, right?
Yeah.
If I try out for him, and then I get, like, some random ensemble member, I'm going to be upset, because that's, like, one of my dream roles. But if I spend my time upset with other people, like, if upset for other people with the roles that they got, then I'm going to be upset about that.
Yeah.
And that kind of trickles down, so you have to keep in mind that you're like one step away from the way that they're acting, and that kind of makes it to where you don't treat them harshly when you tell them the truth.
I like that. That's good. Yeah, I think being judgmental is something that us as actors can easily fall into.
Mm-hmm. It's a big culture of jealousy.
Considering ourselves higher than others.
Mm-hmm.
Or not getting the role we want and then judging the person that got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. How can we spread the gospel and be an example of Christ in our field?
I mean, spreading the gospel is kind of a hard thing to do. Because it's the same thing of speaking truth and love. Like, obviously, you want to tell people about God.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to do do it in a way that isn't harsh, and that's really hard to do.
Because especially if they're harsh back to you.
Yeah, because you have to, you can't avoid, like what I'm saying, you can't talk about harshly. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you to avoid the topic of sin.
Yeah.
Like that's, like avoiding the topic of sin sets the person up for failure because they don't properly understand the truth of the gospel. So you have to talk about that in a way where they won't hear it and go, oh, you're like just being hateful towards me.
Yeah.
Another thing is you kind of have to understand that it's not up to you. You can't save someone else. It's, you can guide them along the path, yep, and you can kind of walk with them, mm-hmm, with it. But ultimately, it's up to that person and God.
Yep.
It's not really something that you can do for that person. So I think spreading the gospel and like acting is really just having respectful conversations with people.
For sure.
Showing love to a person, not for personal gain, not for trying to like convert them to Christianity, but just showing love to them because you genuinely like being around them.
Yeah.
Is a big part. Like becoming friends with people in the field and talking to them in a respectful way, to where that's a big part of us spreading the gospel, is no one wants to feel like they're being talked to just to be convinced of something.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be talked to because the person that they're talking with wants to talk to them.
Yeah.
So I think you just kind of have to talk with people. You know, what we were saying this entire time of having the right attitude,
mm-hmm, being a good example.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many times. I mean, I've only done one show outside of school. So, I mean, I'm not in the scene in the same way that you are.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, there could be people, just because I go to a Christian school doesn't mean that there's everyone saved.
Yep.
So I can't like let my guard down and be like, oh, I'm at a Christian school, I can act however I want because, mm-hmm, people are fine with it. Yep. I'm not being an example to anyone. But I do still have to be a good example. Because there's people that aren't saved at school.
Yep.
People that aren't saved that I'm acting with and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also one of the most important things is there's young Christians.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they're physically younger than me.
Yeah.
Or they just became Christian like 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Because then it's the same thing where I was saying you can't, if you like avoid the sin topic, you're setting them up for failure because they don't know about it. You still, like if you're acting in an unchristian way and a younger Christian sees you, they'll know, okay, if they know you're a Christian, they'll be like, oh, whether it's subconscious or consciously, they'll see your actions and they'll see if you're like being like judgmental towards another actor, or like you're like bad mouthing your fellow actors or your directors. They'll see that and be like, oh, it's okay for me to do that. And that sets someone up for a lot of struggles throughout their walk with God.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's just so many different things that can go wrong if you don't have the right attitudes.
For sure.
So, for sure. Yeah, I think main things to spread the gospel in acting is talk with people respectfully, and talk with them not just to convince them of something,
mm-hmm,
and to set a good example.
Yeah.
And be set apart from non-believers. Yeah. Not because you're better than them, but because God has done things through your life.
Yeah.
He's worked in your in your life.
Love that. Sweet. So, what's next for you?
What's next?
Yeah.
Well, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We're fairly early.
Yes. When do tickets come out?
I should know this. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think, I don't know, if like 2 weeks maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the next thing. I'm planning on doing tech for Mary Poppins.
Cool.
in the winter, and then Singing in the Rain. I might try out for Inspiring Arts this summer.
Heck yeah.
Ethan is talking about it.
Yes.
And I might, depending on what the show is, though.
Yeah.
I might do it.
Dude, that would be awesome. I'm going to be doing it, so.
Yeah. Sure. And then music-wise, at some point this year, I might release music. Ooh.
Hey, there you go.
Don't know when it's going to be, but it might happen at some point. When it does, I'll tell Steven to give me a shameless plug.
Yeah, I'll do a little advertisement.
Yeah. That's about it, really.
Cool. That's awesome.
We got the winter concert for band that no one ever goes to, but.
Hey, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be there. That's awesome. Well, you got a lot of stuff coming up. That's exciting.
Do.
That's good.
It's because I do a certain amount of extracurriculars. So,
staying busy.
My days are crazy full.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Staying busy is good. As long as
as long as I'm not burning out.
Exactly. Yes. Of course. Yeah. Awesome. Well, do you want to pray us out?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity I've had to talk with Steven. I just pray that me and him will be a light to others in our industries and just to spread your word and speak truth and love. God, help us to keep growing in you and help anyone who's listening to this to also keep growing in you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Alrighty, guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just came up on... Go ahead, press it. Yay! We'll see if it's actually on the recording.
I really hope it does.
We are just closing in on an hour and 30 minutes, so there you go.
Oh, wow.
It's a great podcast. But thank you guys so much for listening. Please give it a follow, and I will see you next week for the next episode. All right, bye.